And now, I would like to introduce and call up Bishop Charlton Daly. Pastor Daly ministers at Solid Rock Church of God, which is the congregation that is meeting in our old building, our original church building there on Spruce Street. Pastor Daly has been ministering for over 20 years. He is ordained bishop in the Church of God denomination. He and his wife Janet, and Janet is here with us today, have been married for over 30 years, and they have two adult grown children. Now, when I asked Pastor Daly, out of all those bullet points, is there anything that I missed that I also need to make sure that I cover? He says, well, I love God, and I love his people. So, Pastor Daly, if you come join us, we are grateful that you are here. We love that you are here with us today. Thank you, sir.
She's been putting up with me for over 30 years. Actually, just thinking, no, we're married for a little over 30 years, but we were friends from high school. So I'm just thinking, yeah, so she's been putting up with me for a long time. So please pray for her. Please pray for her for the next 30 years. Let's see how that goes. But thank God for you, Trinity, and for the friendship and for friends that I've gotten to meet here and a part of many of you will become good friends. We were able to sit down and have a meal together during Alpha and other events. And so we have become very good friends. We are brothers and sisters. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah, I know that may be new to some, but it means you are in agreement with what I am saying. Praise God. And so I want to get into the Word of God for today. So if you will go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 1, and if you have the printed version, if you can't find Genesis, you can use a table of content. Yeah, but we're going to Genesis chapter 1. I'm just going to read the first five verses for time's sake, just the first five verses, Genesis chapter 1. I'll be reading from the NLT version, Genesis chapter 1 from the NLT. And hear what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. God said, let there be light. Would you believe it? There was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed. Morning came, marking the first day. How do you respond to that? Thanks be to God, yes, but my version, wow. Let us pray. Father, we thank thank you for this morning. It's a brand new day that you have made, and we are so grateful. We understand so many went to bed last night, but they didn't get up this morning. But we did. For some reason, you chose to give us this gift today of life, and we are so thankful. Would you help us to spend this gift wisely? We already made a wise decision in coming together, to meet together, to worship you together, Lord God. We pray, Father, that we will not just come in, get it over with, and get out, but that we will truly get in with you, and your Spirit will get into us and transform us. Would you bless our time together now as we look into your word? So speak to us out of your word. May we be edified, and may you be glorified, and may the devil be terrified. Let your will be done. We give you praise and glory. We look to you with expectation and anticipation for what you are about to do. We give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, my text, Genesis 1, verse 1 to 5, NLT. And I've chosen for this topic today, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. You may have heard about the theory of evolution. I commend the effort to explain creation, but pity their silly conclusion. The idea that something created itself doesn't fit logical reasoning. It just doesn't. The Bible, on the other hand, paints a clear picture. In the beginning, God. So nice, I gotta say it twice. In the beginning, God. This is an extensive, comprehensive, and exclusive statement. Yes, it is. Extensive in that, though only few words, they're saying a lot. Extensive. It's also a comprehensive statement in that it is complete and everything else that is said are additional. Everything else that comes after the statement, in the beginning God, everything else is additional. So it's comprehensive. It's also exclusive. Exclusive in that this can only be said of Elohim, the creator God. No other God can take this statement. Only the triune God that Trinity recognizes. Oh, you got it, Trinity? Why a sermon like this? Why a sermon like this? I'm so glad you asked. Our theology informs our doxology. Our theology informs our doxology in that what we know of God determines how we respond to God. Theology, the study, the knowledge of God. Doxology, or praise or worship of God. So our theology informs our doxology. So that's why we need a sermon like this, to be reminded or to make known that in the beginning, God. You can tell by one's actions who has an idea of God, who is associated with God, and who understand that it is in him we live, move, and have our being. You can tell by a person's response, who does know about God, who are associated with God, and then who understand that it is in him we live, move, and have our being. That means I cannot exist without you. That means when I open up my mouth, I'm really saying it is your breath in my lungs. It's not just a song, it's my words to you, my anthem to you, because I know you. While others are saying, oh, they are going to church again, they just know about God. So, in the beginning, God. This does not mean God had a beginning. It simply means that when it all began, God was the one who made it happen. If this knowledge forms the foundation of your faith, your life will be built on a firm foundation. If you can't get past the first phrase of the Bible, it will be a challenge for the rest of Scripture to be meaningful and helpful to you. Think about that. If you can't get past this first phrase of the Bible, all the rest of Scripture will not be meaningful and mean much to you. You need at least the first three chapters of Genesis, really. Even better, the first 11 to really get a grasp of what Scripture is saying, to be positioned to understand the rest. You have to read Genesis 1 to chapter 3, or even better, 1 to 11. Until then, everything else will not mean much. The whole Bible is about Jesus. Now, because of time, I don't have enough time to expound on that. But again, in the beginning, God, all three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Elohim, is a Hebrew word for God here. Think government, think family. Don't think a single entity or a single person. It's all three persons working as one. Here, Israel, the Lord our God is one. But it doesn't mean one in number, the oneness of God. Usually we think of God as a body. No, if you do that, you're going to lose it. God is spirit. Note these references to bring some clarity to our main text before we dive in. Note these references. First one, John 1, verse 1 to 3. Say John 1, verse 1 to 3. New Living Translation. It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. Notice the personal mention of the Word, uppercase W, speaking of Jesus, the Logos, which speaks of the thoughts and desires and intention. The Logos, the internal expression. You see, Jesus is the physical expression of who God is. He's the Logos. Another one, Colossians 1, verse 15 to 16. New Living Translation. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He is the only person of the Godhead we can see. When we get to heaven, we will not see three gods. We will only see Jesus. We can't see the Father physically or the Holy Spirit. We'll only see Jesus because he's the only one can be seen physically. He's the only one who can reveal who the Father is. So Christ is a visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdom, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. So in essence, the Father orchestrated it, the Son accomplishes it, and the Spirit reveals it. All three working as one, one unit, one family. Let's get back to our text, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Time, space, and matter comes into existence. Ex nihilo, out of nothing, the Latin. God is outside of time. He's outside of space. He's outside of matter. And it doesn't matter what anyone thinks. Okay, so if you're here today and you're feeling like nothing, consider what God started with. If you're here today or listening today and you feel like nothing, consider what God started with. He started with nothing. It's nearly out of nothing. Maybe there was a big bang, I don't know, but we can contemplate that. The heavens declare the glory of 19 verse 1 says. It's amazing how precise the earth is positioned to sustain life. Any closer and we're toast. Any further, we're icicle. It's amazing the creativity of God, the wonder of God, the might of God. So he created out of nothing. Verse 2. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the earth. So here we see the Holy Spirit's involvement. So God the Father, who orchestrated, speaks the word, and the Holy Spirit is hovering over all three persons active in creation. Consider the condition of the raw material that God was working with at creation. Because what he created was not much. If you were there like I was, you would agree with me. He was there, yes, and then I woke up out of my dream. But seriously, so the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. Consider the condition of the raw material he was working with. It was formless, it was empty, surrounded by water, and covered by darkness. But hidden in the darkness, underneath the waters, and below the surface of the dirt, was promise, potential, and possibility. Think about it. If you're there and you see him working, well, imagine. And you say, what's that? He would have said to you, wait and see. Because in what he made that was empty, dark, and covered by water, was promise, potential, and possibility. May I have you repeat that with me? Promise, potential, and possibility. One more time. Promise, potential, and possibility. The remainder of the chapter reveals God created venture in Genesis 1. Because after he created this thing, he goes further to speak to this thing. Let there be light. And guess what happened? There was light. So he was like a roll call, light, and light says present. Because God spoke. He goes further to divide the waters above from the waters beneath, creating a firmament or heavens. He goes further to gather the waters in one location. And you could see what he was doing. Creating sea. Okay, I think it's early. Right, so he bundled all the waters in one place, and you could see what he was doing. He was creating seas and revealing dry land. Now we see the dry land. Now the promise is unveiling. And yet still it doesn't look like much because that's just dirt. But in that dirt was vegetation. Fruits, all the minerals and things, everything we see comes from the earth. But you couldn't see them because this is just raw material God was working with. Promise, God's intention would come to fruition. Because when he created all that, his plan was not done. Potential, God gave what he made the ability to reproduce. Possibility, God opened the door of endless possibilities with what he was doing. Maybe the description of the early stage of creation fits your life right now. Maybe your life is empty, meaningless, and covered by darkness. Maybe this is you this morning. Maybe you just strolled in. Maybe you just happened to log on. But your life is empty, meaningless, and covered by darkness. You're here. You are not aborted. Your parents may have thought about it, but God had other God who worked with creation is able to work with. You said me. Let's try one more time. The very God that worked with creation is able to work with
me.
Oh, you're getting it. You're getting it. You're getting it. Yeah, thank you, baby. Thank you. Baby God, he or she, I'm not sure. Yeah. So you're here because God would have you here. Whatever your dirt is, give it to God. See what he brings out of it. He will forgive your sins because of what Jesus did. Whatever your dirt is. Maybe your dirt is a broken relationship. Maybe your dirt is a sinful life. Maybe your dirt is the mistakes and regrets that plagues your life. Whatever your dirt is, give it to God. He's good at working with dirt. How was there light before the sun and moon were created? Because afterwards God said, let there be light, and there was light. But the sun and moon were not created until day four. Some people say, see, the Bible is contradicting itself because there's light. They misunderstand something about God. You must understand that the light, the sun does not give light. It's a sign, the responsibility of giving God's light. Because light was around before the sun was created. They missed that. Let's take it to scripture. Revelation 21. Revelation 21 and 23. Revelation 21 and 23. Hear what it says from the New Living Translation. And the city has no need of sun or moon. Would you believe that? For the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. So they think light came about because the sun is there. No, the sun needed a job, and God hired the sun for the job. God knows how to delegate work. Because before, he was shining himself. Jesus specifically was shining himself. But they choose to delegate shining to the sun. And at night, to the moon. Just as how God could go out and reach everyone in this city, but he has delegated Trinity. Yeah, you are delegated to go reach them. As long as there's still an empty seat, you got work to do. Jesus, the Christ, is the light of the world. The Holy Spirit is hovering over, ready to bring about new life. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, hear what it says, New Living Translation. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, he has made his light shine in our hearts, so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. So this God who spoke, let there be light in the beginning, is the one who has spoken, let there be light in your life. The only reason why those of you who know God knows God is because he has revealed himself to you. He has shone his light in your heart to captivate you. You could have been doing something else this morning. So many things to do. You left the house undone. No, don't worry, we're not coming over for lunch. Don't worry, because this is much better. You'll put things on hold because he's worth it. His light has been shone in your heart. And you're passionate about him. Those who have not yet seen his light wonder what's the excitement is. Live in denial and you will remain dormant. You must hear the word of the Lord like the dry bones in Ezekiel 37. We won't go there. Don't just get in Trinity, get it over with, and get out and go to lunch. Get in with God. Let him so his light can shine through you. Remember, Jesus himself said to his disciples, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and cover it up, but they put it on a lampstand so it can give light to the room. That's what you are. That's what I am, the light of God. The God who shone his light in the beginning, let him shine through you. For anyone who have not yet trusted Jesus for salvation, being good is not good enough. It's good. Being good is good. But it's not good enough for God. Understand that heaven is not automatic. We were all born in sin, Tripoli says. That's why we must be born again. We were all born in sin. That's why we must be born again. Tell this to anyone who says that they were born that way. That's why you need to be born again. Whoever you are today, your life may be bitter, but it can be made better if you come to Jesus. Whoever you are today, your life may be bitter, but it can be made better if you trust in Jesus. Receive forgiveness, mercy, and grace, and live. The God of the beginning is a God today. The God who worked with that raw material that did not look like much is a God who is able to work in your life today. You are the light of the world. You have been designated by Christ to shine his light. And for those who are still in darkness, I say, come to the light and be forgiven. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the God who you are. In the beginning, God. And you are still God today. Some are worried because of the advancement of AI. But we are not troubled because we serve the great I Am. You're good and you're mighty and you're strong. Some are worried about who is going to win the election. You were not nominated to office, Father. The Electoral College has no effect on you. The popular votes have no effect on you, O God. You are God, in spite of what we think. You have been God before we came here, and you'll be God after we are gone. So, Father, while we're here, help us, align us with your purpose and with your will, so we can represent you well in the earth. I lift up Trinity Covenant Church to you, Father God. You have strategically positioned them here in this city to be your light. Will you shine in them? Will you shine through them and even shine for them, O God, so others may come to see you through their lives, O God? I pray especially for anyone here who have not yet surrendered their lives to you, Father. Would you save them now? Just heard earlier that Baptism Sunday is coming. Would you prepare them for Baptism Sunday, Father, as they surrender their lives to you? We give you praise, we give you thanks again for what you have done. In Jesus' name we pray.